You're listening a Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وقوله
آمين آمين
لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم
آمين.
اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا
آمين
علما السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You are tuned to Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Today is the 14th of August 2019, corresponding with the 13th of Dhul Hijjah 1440. This is Sahib Muhammad Bayad, and I welcome one and all to Medical Fire. We make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the bounties and blessings that have been bestowed upon us, and we embrace every opportunity to seek knowledge.
Ameen.
Once again, this week, we find that the host becomes the guest of his own program. Alhamdulillah, I am honored and privileged to have seated in front of me Dr. Yusuf Abdul Qadir Bayad. Our topic of this discussion this evening was supposed to have been medical ethics and the payment of fees before treatment. However, we shall discuss that in the future, inshallah. Perhaps if we have time towards the latter part of the show, Doc can touch on that specific topic. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Bayad, and welcome to your show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah for inviting me to my show, Suhail Bayad Sahab. Alhamdulillah, you just caught me off guard. But I think it's quite appropriate we should discuss regarding the Hujjaj returning home. And perhaps I should have maybe, let's put it this way, expounded or done more research. But medical ethics and payment of fees, inshallah, we can do it next week or as you've mentioned earlier with time. Just before you carry on, just put on your WhatsApp numbers so that maybe we can make life easier. It's not very easy to carry on talking for 5 hours on air without preparation. But inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will pour khair in our hearts, in our minds, inshallah.
+27 84 786 31 32. So jazakallah khairan for finding the time, taking the effort and making yourself available tonight.
Ameen, ameen, ameen.
I'm aware of the fact that you just arrived at the studio from your lecture and night classes at the University of KZN Law Faculty on the Howard College campus, where you're studying towards your master's in medical legal studies.
Ji.
Your mind is probably still buzzing with all the legalities and with medicine. Alhamdulillah, this is the perfect time to pick your brain.
Ji.
I thought that you had, firstly, a spiritually uplifting Eid al-Adha with your family and others. And, Ji, as we have alluded to at the beginning of the program, and as you just said, today is the 13th of Dhul Hijjah, and naturally we would find that many Hujjaj are returning from Hajj within the next 2 weeks or so. Dr. Bayad, would you perhaps like to discuss a few aspects of this occasion, which is the returning of the Hujjaj, from a medical perspective for the benefit of our listeners?
Gee, Hafizul Sahab, I'll prefer more questions coming in, and I prefer you guiding me along with the type of questions, perhaps, which our listeners might want to know about. But before I go there, let me also say, Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to all the Hujjaj that are coming back home. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all an easy and safe journey back home. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all an accepted Hajj and Umrah, inshallah. And do not forget to make dua, not only for yourselves, but make dua for yourselves and the entire Ummah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, this atrocious, horrendous, I don't know what other words to use, regarding what's happening in Kashmir to our women and our children, what is happening in Palestine to our women and our children. Right around the world, our Ummah is being annihilated. And Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given you all the tawfiq to come to go for Hajj and take you to the blessed lands, the Mubarak lands. And I hope you have made enough dua for the entire Ummah of the Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Regarding the Hujjaj coming home, look, Alhamdulillah, many, many years ago, Allah Ta'ala gave me the tawfiq to go for Hajj in exactly the similar season. Actually, when I came back home, it was just the, towards the end of August, so we're not far away from there. And I left from Velkom, the Free State, from a freezing, ice-cold temperature.
What were the temperatures, if you don't mind asking?
When I left Velkom?
Yeah.
Look, just before Hajj, it was around about, the day temperature was around about 9. The evening temperature was going to 5 and 4.
5 and 4 degrees?
Gee.
So, and then from there, then, so when you
and
departed...
Then, you see, I can still picture this very, very clearly. Regarding the day of Arafah, the temperature there was 55 degrees.
Allah.
And Alhamdulillah, I hope Allah Ta'ala again, you know, whatever you do, if you're doing it solely for the pleasure of Allah, Allah Ta'ala opens the roads, Allah Ta'ala will make ways. Now I was becoming worried that, hey, what's happening to me, you know, being a youngster, I've paid so much of money, I'm coming for Hajj. At that time, Kogir's Hajj was regarded as a five-star Hajj. But I'm making dua on the plain of Arafah, my whole, virtually the whole day when looking after the infirm and the elderly.
Alhamdulillah.
Just collapsing like, how can I say, a ten-pin bowl. You know, seriously, one after the other, so much so that the facilities were not as good as what they have now then. Because there it was just tents in an open area, mainly, and it was hot. And collapsed. So what did we got the buses, put the aircons on in the bus, one by one, bringing them, you know, who required to be hydrated urgently, we put on some fluids in the drips. And the whole day went like that from Arafah, and Alhamdulillah, twice I did the walking hajj.
Alhamdulillah.
It's a good exercise, but Allah Ta'ala must take me again while I got Parkinson and make it the third time,
inshallah. I mean.
And, you know, the preparation going and the preparation coming. Now, when you came back home, you come back to a hot area or a cold area. Now, you come from a very, very hot area, like I believe this year in Hajj was quite hot as well, but Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala send them rain, and they say always when you're having rain of that kind, of that magnitude, always make dua, Ya Allah, make it sayyibun nafia.
Allahumma sayyibun nafia, correct? Beneficial rain.
Beneficial rain. The very same water that Allah gives the whole entire dunya cannot do without it. And the very same rain that can, which is beneficial, which gives us plant growth, all our food comes from there. Without water, there is no life. Yet that very same water could become destructive. That very it's like, you know, I always put the ummah to test. Well, myself first. Is whatever happening around you, whatever happening around us, like for example, guys, hey, Allah Pak is so good to me. I got $1 million, man. How would you test that? Is that like rain, like, now I'm drifting a bit, but inshallah I'm just going to answer your questions still, so I'm waiting for all your questions.
I do have some questions for you, but carry on.
No, no, I was just drifting a bit.
Sure.
To say, well, look, how do you test this? Is that 1 million rain a ni'mat from Allah, or is it a curse from Allah? Like the rain, is this rain a ni'mat from Allah, or is it a curse from Allah? Every mu'min that they have any minimum of, level of understanding will be able to answer the question for himself.
Most
and people. How do you answer that? If you look at it now, after getting the 1 million, then after making the 1 million, is my well bringing me closer to Allah, or is it taking me away from Allah? How do you judge that? Is it bringing me closer to Deen? Am I feeding more poor? Am I sponsoring more massages? Am I doing more dini work? Or am I getting further away? My money, I can do what I want to do with it. Do not wait for the wrath of Allah. This is something that I've heard from the ulama, that sadaqah cools the wrath of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, inshallah, I will try and come back to the topic, but I think when the hujjaj come in, what sort of illnesses or something?
So I actually have two questions in front of me. Let's start with the first one, Doc. What are some of the common health issues and occurrences when returning from Hajj? For example, like you were saying, and we are speaking about climate change related illnesses, firstly. Secondly, illnesses that were picked up from other people whilst travelling, etc.
So, hey, look, it's quite easy to try to figure this out, right? Climate change, you know, people say, hey, it's cold today, I've got a backache, my arthritis is troubling. Generally, basically, it's fatigue related. Commonly, traveler's diarrhea, I don't know if you heard of that kind of illness, is generally viral. People think about food poisoning, you know, we bought this on the road there and whatever. Basically, that's quite very common. Guys normally come home, you feel tired, you feel out of it, I can't go to work. Some, in Alhamdulillah, you find the youngsters, especially the youngsters or those who are, I won't use the word desperate, they're less fortunate than Suhail Bhai Sahib and I. You know, we take our time, do whatever we want to do, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us. But some of them have to go back to work immediately. So, you know, fatigue is there. Flu-like illnesses, very, very, very common.
Flu-like?
You know, running nose, fever. I mentioned diarrhea earlier.
Right.
But treatment for all this is, these are self-limiting diseases or self-limiting illnesses. Main thing is strict bed rest, make sure you're well hydrated. In other words, have a lot of fluids, nice hot cup of tea if it's cold. Well, I'm feeling for some coffee, which Dawood Mulli had promised me for past couple of weeks.
Alhamdulillah.
So, Alhamdulillah, the niyat of drink the water, niyat of coffee, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So, that was, these are mainly viral illnesses.
Right.
And the virus, you know, I think if you remember Suhail a couple of weeks ago, maybe 6 to 8 weeks ago, we had a specialist on in my studio, not in my theater, in my studio. Suhail, who spoke about antibiotics.
Oh yes, Dr. Peer.
Yeah, Dr. Peer.
Right.
A microbiologist.
Correct.
And he warned us against this, the use of antibiotics willy-nilly.
Yes.
So for a virus, support of, you know, Panado, if you've got high fever, drink liquids, have this, what you call this, Powerade or whatever, just to replenish yourself, give yourself. And most important of all, when you come back home, do not miss your salah, that's for first. But after each salah, have a good sleep. Mainly, if you are fortunate enough, have a good rest.
Yeah.
That's the crux of the matter, put it that way. And inshallah, you find your energy is coming back, your enthusiasm for salah, zikr, saum, all will come back, inshallah. And please do not forget us, especially the sinners like me, do not forget us in your du'as.
Okay, Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair for that, Doc. With all that being said, I think perhaps it's time for a quick break. And we shall commence thereafter. Oh, you want to keep going, Doctor? I have another question here for you.
No, I'm only showing you his hand. I think he's still got about 8 minutes.
8 minutes or so. Okay. So, let's go on to the next question, perhaps. Are there any serious types of illnesses and cases that you have come across in your experience? Serious.
Look, a very good question, an excellent question. Look, it changes from time to time with different strains of viruses. Now, remember, I don't know if you are aware, I don't know how, I don't want to sound like an old man. A couple of good years ago, we had an outbreak of meningitis.
Mm-hmm.
in Cape Town. And there's amongst the Hujjaj and nobody else. It was traced back, it came from Saudi. The trace back came, well, not from the Saudi Arabian people themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Some other Hujjaj, well, let's not belittle anybody, but some Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From other Hujjaj, from other areas of the world. Remember, you all are in one confined area. Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, coming back, Tawaf. So, a viral is very easy to pick up.
Mm.
A viral meningitis, very, very serious condition that can become an encephalitis. It can even lead to death. Now, we take these things for granted. You know, I've had many patients. Look, I've done travel medicine previously.
Okay.
And I was registered to issue vaccinations for the Hujjaj. And the guy will come, hey, document, do me a favor. Sign Kari Lenin and just put a signature. I said, No. It's for your own good. I shall see why take meningitis until we had the outbreak in our very own country amongst the Hujjaj.
Mm.
So the seriousness of this of the situations is brought upon by our own doing.
Right.
Or undoing, omission or commission.
Omission or commission.
I'm learning from the lawyers, you know. Omission is what, if you don't do it, if you don't take the vaccine, you're going to have a problem. Commission is, you take the vaccine, but don't take the precaution.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I say, omission or commission.
See.
And it is important, you know, like generally if you, different countries of the, or different areas of the world have different kind of illnesses and diseases. Like the Haemophilus influenza virus, it changes the strain nearly every year. So before the vaccines come out, they work out, okay, for the elderly and for the young, for the very young, or for the infirm, for people with low immunities, this is what they should be taking. Like a pneumococcal vaccine that will prevent pneumococcal pneumonia. Now, I don't want to become too scientific.
No, it's fine.
Pneumococcal pneumonia, which is quite common. And it's very, very easily, the bug is very, very easily picked up by elderly or the very young, because your immune systems are down.
Right.
The very young, the immune system is still developing, whereas in the old, the immune system is coming down.
Mm.
In between, you have the spectrum where people are on cancer treatment, people are on immunotherapy treatment. These are the type of people who must make sure that they are well cared for. Prevention is better than cure. Tie your camels before they run away, you understand?
Gee.
Now, it's very easy to quote a hadith, say, tie your camel. Are we doing, this is one of the areas where you could tie your camel. Unless you have a death wish. And that, we all have the death wish. Pass away in the Mubarak lands, in Medina, Makkah.
Amen.
And very, very interesting for those listeners that don't know, look, alhamdulillah, our Mufti A.K. Hussain was emphasizing, you know, giving a little description, that if you pass away in a haram, there is no kafan. Do you know that?
Really?
There is no kafan.
No,
you
kafan.
They bury you with the very same haram. What a mot that would be, inshallah. So, Allah Ta'ala grant us that kind of mot.
Amen.
You know, on the day of Arafat, making this wukuf, the crying, the natural crying, what have you, Allah Ta'ala must take us again and again, inshallah.
Inshallah, amen. And for those that haven't been, Allah Pak must take us for the first time, inshallah.
You haven't been, so it's Umrah Hajj. Inshallah,
Umrah,
Allah Ta'ala make it easy for you.
Amen.
Look, man can talk, and I've known many, many friends that have always, when you discuss para, please, go for Hajj.
Yeah.
All right, next year, inshallah, and the next year never comes.
Hmm.
We have to make this firm dua, firm intention. Look at one of the fifth pillar of Islam.
Correct.
And why do you think, the order of the pillars of Hajj, the five pillars, is an important order in it. First is Kalima, Iman. Then is Salah. You are the Mufti, you're the Hafiz of, yeah? Then, Zakat. No, missing some. See.
Som.
That's it. Why Sawm is before Zakat? And why Zakat is before Hajj?
Why don't you explain that to us?
Perhaps look, Iman, alhamdulillah, if you don't have Iman, you're not a Muslim, the faith won't apply to you, right?
Right.
Without Iman, nobody, you can never attain salvation, you never attain the closest to Allah, and you never enter Jannah. Salah can be performed by everybody. Rich, poor, black, white, yellow, pink, no racism, no nothing. Same with Sawm. Sawm is between the person who keeps fast and Allah. Allah says, I will reward the fasting person myself. Because I can come to you Suhail and say, hey, Suhail, I had a nice chow, and a nice sandwich outside, and a nice stomach pain, Suhail, fasting, he fast got me. In the meantime, I had a nice chow. But who saw me?
Allah, sir.
Only Allah.
Yeah.
So that's between Allah and the person who fasts. Rich, poor, black, white, yellow, pink. Now, just I'll tie all this up in one word at the end. Coming to what was the fourth pillar?
Zakat.
Zakat. Now, zakat is only those who can afford it. Okay?
Yeah.
2.5% of your wealth. I mean, lunar. I don't go into all the details, but it's a lunar calendar. And how many of us diligently look forward to paying zakah? And the last is Hajj. Hajj is for those that can afford it all day. Once in a lifetime for those who can afford it. Well, alhamdulillah, we get people who go for many years.
Alhamdulillah.
So, nothing wrong going for many years, but do not show off. You go to somebody's house, on my fifth Hajj, you saw that on one day. That was on my first Hajj you brought it. And on my ninth Hajj you saw that one day. I mean, that's what? Pride, showing off. So that's why I normally say, bring the yaqeen back into Allah. Let us go all come back to Allah. And these periods of Hajj. Now what happens in Hajj? If you look at the Hajj, Mufti Sahib put on our group, what a lovely photograph. Of that leader, Ivory Coast.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I'm following you.
They are wearing a haram, lying and sleeping with these people on the floor. No special
treatment.
No, you never ask for it. He's entitled to it. That is what Hajj, that the levels the playing fields.
Right.
Whether you are a king or the street sweeper, all of you going to wear the same garb, two pieces of towel. Just imagine. Ihram unites, unity, bring everybody together. And the most important of all, the people in Kashmir, Palestine. Look, what a sad thing. From Palestine, it's a bus journey into Saudi. And they can't go. Why? So from this you can understand Allah does, Allah takes, Allah gives. 24 hours of rest should be Allah, 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 all the time.
Jee, alhamdulillah. With that being said, I think we can now take a quick break and thereafter we shall commence, inshallah.
You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Medical File. I am Suhail Mohammed Vaid and in the studio today we have Dr. Yusuf Abdul Qadir Vaid who is speaking on the topic of Hajj and health. Doc, picking up from where we left off before paying our medical bills, should I say, we were speaking about any serious types of illnesses and then I wanted to ask you a question relating to your previous experience. You said that when you went for Hajj, you were treating quite a few people. I remember in the past, and you would probably also recall, there was a stampede, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was, I think, mid-world cup for a few years. We had different types of calamities, put it that way.
Yeah.
I think the year of my sister, and they went for Hajj. That year they had a fire in Mina.
Right.
Now the stampedes happened once I was there. Alhamdulillah, we're very, very fortunate not to lose any of our South African Hajis. And it's quite scary when you see remember 2.5 million people or 3 million people going in one direction. Now when you look at the Mina, they've made three levels, if I'm not mistaken, okay. Three levels where you pull the Jamarat.
Mm.
In the time earlier days, there's only no is one level only. So if you drop your chumpal or something happens, don't ever try to pick up or don't ever turn back, because you won't come back alive. You'll be trampled to death.
Because the people are just flocking all together.
That's what happens. Now imagine now. There's a very nice clip again. I saw the guy was hitting the Satan. You know, with all his might. If you are not careful, I've got a few hits also.
I remember my father also back in his...
Besides the stones, I got into the umbrella.
Umbrella.
Somebody's chumpal comes out and the guy really... Satan was really troubled. I'm seriously telling you, and the guy came with little, you know, big stones.
Right.
When I say big stones, they're little bloody rocks.
Not pebbles.
So, you know, all these type of things you have to stomach, but... You see, now can I drift a bit before I come back?
Sure.
All right, okay, let me just finish the South African Hujjaj.
Right.
At that time. Take your time and do things, but do it within the time frames for a while. Like, for example, if you said to do it before Zohar, then go just as about Zohar is to finish. If you said done before, I'm just giving you an example, I'm not saying that's what it is.
Right.
So, Take it easy, find out how the... There's no rush. What's the need to rush? Hajj is 5 days. Full 5 days you spend there. And my only advice is to all the youngsters who can afford it, it's for the young guys. Madalas like me now, you know, pension now. Seriously, because we find them struggling and... All of us are not as fit as... Or you won't be able to do what you could do 20 years ago, can you?
That's debatable, but correct.
Look, there are old people who will go for it. Imagine they'll be saving all their lives for that one occasion. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala has given you the gift. Allah has provided you... I'm talking about those who can afford it. Again, we're coming back to those five pillars I spoke about. And how the Hajj unites all that. It goes beyond description. Beyond prescription.
Prescription.
Why I say beyond prescription? It doesn't say you are white, you are rich, you are this, you go to this tent. You are black, you are pink, you go to this tent. You got 20 cents and you got 1 million, you know. I'll tell you, Suhail, it's such a lovely feeling. The playing fields are so level. It's absolute tremendous.
Subhanallah.
Yeah, obviously you still get the big shots coming and doing their own things. They'll never have the experience that you have. And inshallah, we'll go inshallah. Take me and go, so I need somebody to push my wheelchair off.
Inshallah. Allah Pak must take us. I mean...
I was deviating earlier, I forgot the point that I was making.
You're speaking about the stampede.
Oh yes. And then I was called a couple of guys, you know, and if you look at the old, you see, you're in a haram now, right?
Right.
And imagine the guy drops you, you know. And they say, your whole sector, everything is open.
So what do you do?
No, so it's, don't go at that time, when there's a stampede, don't go. You see, there's a rushing in the morning. And then I went to see the spacious, alhamdulillah. We're fortunate enough that I saw guys with roof fractures, but not so serious. They were not displaced roof fractures. The guys were stable but in pain. Alhamdulillah, nobody died. Or nobody passed away, So, you know, these type of things will occur. While you are, see, that we must talk about before going to Hajj. But inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will take us and we will look after the people for the Hujjaj there.
Inshallah. Maybe that's the reason why Allah Pak took you in the past, was to look after those Hujjaj. You are the.
I mean, Allah Taala means. You see, I always tell one hair breath.
Jee.
I hope this is not coming as boasting on air or doing this on air or whatever. I just hope not. You caught me off guard, but we need to speak about what happens in Hajj. And Alhamdulillah, as I say, Allah Taala has taken me many times for Umrah as well.
Alhamdulillah.
But the crowd of Hajj and the crowd of ordinary Umrah, Jameen and Aswan, you know, that's my famous words.
Jee.
Earth and heaven difference. Close to the feeling of Hajj, you must be watching the ITV live on the 27th night of Ramadan. That's how the haram gets for Hajj. So Allah knows best. Any other questions coming in this way?
Jee, perhaps you got some advice to, well, looking forward now for those people who prospective who judge for the next Hajj season. Is there any advice to those individuals and families, perhaps on some preventative precautionary measures to take prior to departing for Hajj?
Look, obviously the travel agents will give you the dope on all your money wise and your accommodation and this and that and whatever. That's their part of it.
Right.
The medical side of it is, look, they will give you the, remember, each country will put out an advisory for their own, all travelers, that these are the vaccines that are compulsory that you must take. And you must have your vaccine card, what have you. Make sure you have those vaccines and make sure you take those vaccines because it's for your own good. Now why do they give you that advisory? Because of the conditions that are happening at that particular time. For example, I'm just going to pick some examples.
Right.
For example, the meningitis vaccine that was given 2 years ago, they say, and they give the length of time the vaccine lasts. Like a yellow fever vaccine is for life.
The half-life of it.
No, it's for life now.
Right.
Now you go there, so make sure you have your card. But have a card, because you can't go there and argue with the guy on the airport now. So just make sure you got a card, do it for life and this and that. Whatever you say, give him a current date. Yeah, day if you lie, it's called a white lie. In fact, I had gone from here once to Egypt. And from Egypt, I went for Umrah.
Okay.
And the guy said, oh, Africa, one side, they want to give me another yellow fever vaccine.
So?
I told the guy, say, brother, don't be, I'm not a doctor, I'm a medical doctor and what have you. I said, put me back in a plane, go home. Send me back home because I'm not going to go and take another minute. I took my yellow fever. I can't go and take another dose of yellow fever. Now you're going to give me yellow fever.
By giving you that second injection.
I can't explain to him and he can't understand what I'm saying. I'm telling him in English and he's swearing me in Arabic. So these things will happen. But, before they should tell us, carry 100,000 rands or carry million rand worth of sabr. So that was the old people saying, make sure you have enough sabr when you're going there.
Right.
But all that will come because you're going to whose place?
Allah.
The house of Allah. If you go to Medina, you're going to visit the Rawdah Mubarak of who? Nabiya Kareem
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
You're not just going there for a joyride. So inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will take us, inshallah. So as I was explaining to you, then your whatever medical condition you have, you may be a person with a heart condition, you could take your medication. Somebody's got some cholesterol. Look, Saudi Arabia has all the facilities when you come to medicine. And it's all provided free of charge. Like for example, if you're a kidney patient that requires dialysis, you can make the arrangement in advance from here. And say you're having dialysis 3 times a week, you'll get it done free of charge.
Free of charge? As opposed to
what paying for it.
So just out of curiosity, how much is a dialysis treatment in South Africa?
I'll be lying to you. I in fact went to see my Aunt Galil Hospital today. He was on that. My age.
Right.
We grew up together. Alhamdulillah, Allah can give complete shifa.
Ameen.
And he was busy having his dialysis. I should have asked him. Actually, he runs into thousands. Fortunately, he's been covered by medical aid.
Gee.
But in the Saudi, it's dealt with for free. So all the medication that you're going to get here, you get in Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
In fact, Mufti Sahib sent us on our chat again the other day. They're playing politics with doctors' lives. Pakistani doctors have been expelled.
Yeah, I read that article.
And if that article is correct, Ya Allah, Allah Ta'ala must perhaps save those doctors. Not because I'm a doctor. They're Muslim doctors. And, you know, those guys will treat them. I have seen this myself. But the American doctors or American non-Muslim doctors get such preferential treatment. I won't go and work in Saudi. Yes. I'd rather go and work and look after the Hujjaj outside and sit in a corner and beg in the street, not as a beggar. I'll look after the Hujjaj and I'll have enough money to take out my life there. But that's all in the hands of Allah. Allah does with means, Allah does without means. The Zaat of Allah is such, kun fayakun, Allah says, be and it will happen. Inshallah, as Muslim Ummah gets together, as we get united again, inshallah, summa inshallah, the victory of the Muslim is not far away.
Inshallah. So, Doc, are there any other aspects perhaps?
Many aspects. As I said again, a youngster going for Hajj, he will really enjoy it. He will be of greater benefit to his parents, if the parents go with him. I used to really enjoy pushing the wheelchair. You know, Haji, my little fellow, now he's gone too big for his boots. Zakaria.
Oh, Zakaria, Ji.
As the guy goes round and round, he used to love it, playing with water.
Right.
But all water he was playing with, Zamzam water. Fill up the cups and run, you know, the Hujjaj.
Ji.
They used to make tawaf on the first floor.
Right.
Now, obviously, they've made it much nicer space. That time it is even more difficult for them to run. Zamzam, you carry Zamzam, and Zamzam Haji. And they'll drink the water and they'll kiss him and hold him and hug him. And
Alhamdulillah.
One or two Haji and give him riyals. And say, no, don't take them. He wants to take the couple of riyals. And Alhamdulillah, you know. But the thing is, the zest and the zeal must be there.
Gee.
It's not that we shouldn't be just going there for shopping and just being there for, say, I've been for so many Umrah and so many Hajj. That jazba or that zeal must come back into us. That, Ya Allah, give us the strength to become shaheed in your path.
Inshallah, Ameen.
You know, perhaps I'm old now and I'm, you know, they say self-identity is gone. They say it's very easy for you to say, let's go to Kashmir and give our lives, or let's go to Palestine and give our lives. I'll challenge any old man, let's go, come with me. And it's time that we stood up for it. And you know, we have a WhatsApp group made up of all professionals that we know one another very well, absolutely well. And I don't want to give more too much than it'll be exposing the group.
Right.
We've got Muslim doctors, Muslim specialists, are absolutely scared to come out in support of the people of Kashmir because of their allegiance to their Hindu counterparts. Allah Ta'ala must not test us. I am proud to be a Muslim. I'm proud. Remember, you are a Muslim first, then you are a father. Muslim first, then you're a doctor. Muslim first, then you're an engineer. Muslim first, then whatever. Why should we be scared? Call a spade a spade. Allah will protect you. That our problem is, we first look at insan, then you want to look at Allah. Turn the things around, first to Allah and then to insan. You know, somebody was talking about, they said when the Sahaba, what did even the shoelace, they would read two rakat salah. For us, two rakat salah for a shoeless. You're mad. You get the point I'm saying?
Do I get the point?
And the thing is, can you ever think for 1 minute that you can go to the shop without a cent in your pocket and buy a loaf of bread?
Mm.
Impossible. Where's our yakin? In the fulus, in the money.
The money.
We spoke about zakat earlier on. Let me just talk about just two small things that just come to mind.
Sure.
What human beings say seeing is?
Believing.
You sure?
That's what they say.
But if I show you that seeing is not believing, what would you say? I just give you two small points.
Right.
Allah Ta'ala says, Hayya ala salah. What does that mean?
Come to salah.
Hayya ala falah.
Come to success.
Twice Allah will tell you, Hayya ala falah. Come to success. Now, Asar Salah generally is difficult for the guys to close shop and be there in Jamaat on time. Fajr and Asar generally. Fajr is because of the cold, like if you're in Welcome, the cold will keep you, electric blanket will keep you. And newly married couples, I won't tell you what will keep you, but I know you're. If you want to go for a nice honeymoon, go to my place in Welcome. Allah Ta'ala has given me a nice, lovely house which is empty. All the facilities are there, we'll give you everything, inshallah. The experience getting up for Fajr at 5 o'clock in the morning when it's -1 and try to go to the mosque. Okay, all said and done. At the time of Asr Salah, a guy comes in and shows you a he opens his wallet in front of you. He's got a whole stack of 200 rand notes, maybe 20,000-30,000 rand. And he says, I want this, that, whatever you. What happens to us?
Immediately get carried away.
No, not only carried away. You say, hey, I'll just serve you. Hey, I'll catch up. I'll read in the shop today. Don't worry. Why? Where's the way? Our yakin, our eyes are saying, hey, look at those 200 bucks. Look at the 20,000 rand in crisp 200 rand notes. What your eyes are showing you? But what Allah says, Hayya alal falah.
Success.
Come to success. Your success is there, not there. Okay. Another small example.
Right.
Zakat, we spoke about zakat earlier. It's a pillar of one of the five pillars, important pillars, right? What is 2.5% of 100 rand?
Do the math.
250, easy. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Now, if you take out 250 from 100 rand, how much you left out?
97.50.
Right. Allah Ta'ala says, if you give zakat, if you give sadaqah, I will increase you. But what your eyes are showing you? What's happening to your money?
Decreasing. That's what your eyes are saying.
But Allah Ta'ala is telling you,
Jee.
I will increase you.
So where's your yakin?
So that I'm trying to explain to you. Seeing is deceiving. Not believing.
Some good lessons, alhamdulillah.
Inshallah. My means, I'm a bit disappointed. So, if you told me earlier, maybe you could have spoken more about Hajj. Or I got more questions about people coming for Hajj. I don't know whether this is from now or from earlier on about this current situation in Mina. So, just quickly.
Did you get a question there, Doc?
No, it's not a question. Somebody just made a statement. Current situation in Mina. Is an info from field team in Mina. No electricity, no escalators to Jamarat, and no electricity at the tents. Access to Mina is closed because of heavy rains. Alhamdulillah. Allahumma saibu nafiya. Situation is not conducive because of too many Jama. Maybe too many people are still around.
Yeah.
Allah knows best.
Yeah.
Anyway, said, "Why? I don't know what's the time, Daud."
Yeah, I think we have about 5 to 6 minutes. We can start, inshallah. If there's any other closing statements you have, perhaps
on Hajj,
as well as if Doc would like to.
You see, why I talk about youngsters going for Hajj, and It is besides that, go out learning, do some research, go out learning.
Right.
So you say, for example, you go to Medina, you go for ziyarah. In fact, the guy, some of these ziyarah guys, Allah Ta'ala, forgive me and forgive them all, inshallah. First forgive me.
I mean, all of us.
They take out stories from the pockets. And we all get carried away. Alhamdulillah. If you learn history, sit with the alims, ask Mufti Q&A, what should I read? You know, empower ourselves.
Right.
So that when you go there, the guy can't fool you or deceive you. And alhamdulillah, you know, when you go to Uhud, the battle of Uhud, they show you the mountain, they show you the pass. The Shuhada of Uhud. No, I'm talking, just trying to say what main areas come in mind. Similar situation in Makkah, but now I feel very, very sorry for our kids and our youngsters. Because most of the areas of interest, of historical interest, is being cut down.
Gee.
I remember the days when my marhum father went for Hajj. You know, those days, go, whole family will go to the airport, leave them. It was a 6 months issue. And alhamdulillah, money had value. For example, I was, may Allah Ta'ala grant him both mother and father. Make their cover full of noor, make their a garden of paradise, and grant them Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah.
Ameen.
When I was just cleaning, I'm talking about a couple of good years ago, 20-some-odd years ago, I was cleaning my father's cupboard after he had passed away.
Gee.
I had found some traveler's checks which showed 90 cents for bought you $1.
90 South African cents will buy you $1 at that time.
When they had bought it, right? Now listen to this, the better part of it. $1 would buy you 5 Saudi riyals. So it meant roughly about 18, say 20 cents was 1 riyal. Today is nearly 4 rands. So the barakat of the money at that time was different.
Gee.
Now, with the same barakat we can get in our lives today. It's time that we change. The Allahum yarjun, you know, always my favorite ayahs of the Quran. You, Hafiz Habib, must help me out. You know, Hamid, my cousin, you know, we call him Aslam. I'm sure he's listening to us on air, I hope so. Asked Aslam, what is the meaning of Aslam? You, from the first para, read Kullama, what? Aslam. I forgot the ayat, man, actually. It's the first para. It's towards the end, Yaqub alayhi salam and the sons, man. Aslam is to have a word, Aslim. Submit, total submission to Allah.
Qala aslamtu li rabbil alameen.
That's it. You understand? At this point, I think it's a good point. You gave me a minute or so. Something has just quickly come. You see, when I normally talk to Christians, you must never be afraid of your deen. Whatever you know, talk. The guy asks you, say, I don't know, okay, I'll find out and get back to you or whatever. Now, generally, when you have a discussion with the Christians, you know, it's just an ordinary discussion. I would always say, see, we Muslims, we are more Christian than you Christians yourselves. Say, what do you mean? I say, you must go, have you got DSTV? He says, I got DSTV. Go and watch on channel 347, the Islamic channel, and go and watch on Hajj. So they ask you about the stampede in Mina, whatever you, you know, you talk about the haram. There is not a single ritual that is done there that is done in commemoration of our Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, read from the first paragraph. Abaukum.
Wa abnaukum.
No, that one.
Not Kulinkana.
No, I don't worry about it.
Je.
Every ritual is the family of who? Ibrahim alayhi salam. What Nabi Karim salam said? Your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam. Look, the pelting of the Jamarat. Don't go and hit that thing with your jumper. That's an ordinary pillar there, peace, man. The ritual, what it shows you. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam, was accosted by the Satan in those three different areas.
Right.
So that's the ritual that you commemorate. At the same time, You have to bring the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam to our lives, submission to Allah.
Jee.
If you look at the Maqam Ibrahim, you look at the Kaaba itself. Who built it? You look at Maqam Ibrahim, Safa Marwa.
Jee.
What was Safa Marwa for? I'm sure he must have heard it 1,000 Jee. Times now. You know, Zamzam and Jibreel alayhi salam hit his foot down Ismail who was a baby.
Jee.
But more important than that was the submission, total
submission
to the commands of Allah.
Yeah.
Similarly, the very same, the slaughtering of the sheep, we all went through Qurbani now.
Yeah.
What is it? Understand it, why we're doing it. Easy for you to debate with any Christian around the world if you want.
Hmm.
So he says, what do you know? I say, see, we slaughter not because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we slaughter because Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now the Bible talks about Isaac.
Right.
Whereas the Quran talks about Ismail alayhi salam.
Ismail is Ishaq.
Yeah, well, Isaac is Ishaq.
Ishaq.
But Ishaq was from Sarah.
Sarah, yeah.
You laughed when I said Sarah. Well, the whiteies will tell you Sarah.
That's not the reason, refer to it, yeah.
And Ismail alayhi salam came from Hajra.
Yeah.
So, what I'm saying is, if you know the basics, you'd be able to talk and say that Allah Ta'ala sent the ram from heaven.
Yeah.
That is why the guys were absolutely shocked. Not shocked. Remember, I'm talking about 30 some odd years ago, I went to Welcome.
Yeah.
I went to the Avatar to find out, can we start our whole communities, animals here, just for so that we can get proper professional help. And we got talking to the guy, and we told him, see, in Islam, this is what we're allowed to cut. Pork is haram, pig can never be slaughtered in anything, it can never be made halal. He was so amazed when I told him that each cow is 7 shares.
7 shares, yeah.
Do you know that the abattoirs also counted the 7 shares.
I never knew that.
Well, we learn every day.
Alhamdulillah.
So I gave the example of the buffalo, cow. Then I gave them the age wise. I said 2 years only for a cow. They say, hey, doc. I said, brother, I didn't read this in any books, in any science books. I've heard this from my elders and the ulama. From then on, I made it a duty to try and learn one or two new facts every now and then.
Yeah.
Go and read up here, Quran, go and ask this Mawlana. And inshallah, my desire.
Yeah.
I want to start an alim's course.
Inshallah. It's never too late. If you can do your master's in law at this age, I'm sure... Inshallah, anything is possible, inshallah.
See, these are the words of my marhum mother rings. My marhum mother's words ring into my ears now, where she always says, Chacha, leave all this. I want to karakar a PhD and Ujawada, the Quran now is Khalaskat, or Heaps Khalaskat.
Subhanallah.
Anyway, Jazakumullah khair, sorry for having me.
Ameen.
It was a pleasure talking to you. And to the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, Jazakumullah khair for listening to us. I was hoping that we would have more interaction with you, but inshallah next week we'll come back. Maybe I will be the guest again, inshallah, talking about medical ethics and the payment of fees before treatment.
Okay, sounds like an interesting topic there, Doc.
Inshallah.
Okay, alhamdulillah, that brings us to the close of our program today. Jazakallah khairan for listening in. And Dr. Vaid, once again, it is a pleasure to interact and co-host the show with you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullahu khair.